All right, Mark.
All right, Daniel.
How's it going?
20-ton polar bear.
What?
Well, I needed something to break the ice. Here's it.
All right.
Wait.
What's the weather like outside, Mark?
It's looking like a blizzard.
Oh, snow way. Blizzard.
Wizard.
Oh, I wish
it could be Christmas.
So, Mark, have you heard?
No.
Apparently, it's quite sad actually. Father Christmas has got a mince pie stuck right up his nose. Yeah.
You should get some cream for that.
Yeah. Have you heard about our new head teacher, headmistress?
No.
We've got a new one. Oh, I know all about her. Apparently, she was the first woman to fly to the moon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, she's David Beckham's sister. And apparently, she carries a shotgun around with her everywhere she goes in case children are naughty.
All right, and what's her name?
Armstrong Beckham. It's double barrel name.
Where did you meet?
Where did I?
Meet your...
The headmistress.
The headmistress, yeah.
Well, I haven't really met her yet.
You haven't actually met her?
I haven't met her, no, but I know loads about her. I could tell you what the...
But you haven't actually met her?
No. Not really. No. Oh. There's someone coming in. I don't really know. Who's that? Mark. Who's she?
I don't know.
Oscar.
Excuse me. Who are you?
I'm your new headmistress.
Oh.
The relevance of that, you will discover later on.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's nice to see you all here. Well done for making it on the road. We're going to think about our Bible verse for the day, but it's a little bit different this morning because I've got our Bible verse here, but it's all wrapped up. So I need some help unwrapping it. So I was wondering if any of you would like to come forward and help me unwrap some of these. I've got about 14, so there's plenty of... I need plenty of helpers. Brilliant. Can you unwrap that one for me? Thank you. Oh, whoops. There you go. Can you unwrap that one? Thank you. Thank you very much. Do you want to do that one? And that one? How are we doing? Any more helpers? Can anyone else give me a hand? Oh, thank you. Have you unwrapped them? Do unwrap them. Take all the paper off. That's brilliant. There's one for you. And one for you. And we'll see what's inside. I need four. Are there four more people? Any more? Here's one more. Brilliant. Thank you very much. Anna, I know you're quite keen. Nikki, thank you. Paul. There we go. Okay, how are we getting on? Well, we've got one more. Hang on. Sorry, Paul. There you go. Can you unwrap that one for me? Thank you. Are you happy to join in? Okay, brilliant. How are we getting on? We're nearly there. Do you need some help? Doing very well. Can you pull it? Well done. Okay, now on those, there's lots of words written, isn't there? And that's our Bible verse. But what we need to do is work out the order. So if you all turn around and face the congregation and hold up your words, I think we'll see they're probably... Does that make sense to everybody? No, it doesn't. Okay, so we need to move people around. And there's a little number on the back to help us. So 13, if you come down this way, down to very near the end. 3, you need to go a little over this way. 8, you'll be in the middle. What number have you got there? 7. Okay, 4, 3, 4. Bear with me, takes a little... 6, 2. Who's got number 1? No one. Do you want to come up this end? That's great. Okay, there's number 1. 1, 2, 3, four, five. Do you want to squeeze in just there? Oh, other way around. That's it. Perfect. Okay, what numbers have we got here? 7. What's that? 14. I think you need to come down to the very end. Can you go down to the end there? Here we go. Well done. What number have you got there? 11. You need to move down as well. 9 in there. 10. Fantastic. 12. Who's got 11? 11. Do you want to come in here? Do you want to squeeze in there? And then if you come with me. Okay. And if you stand in here. Perfect. We're there. Everyone hold their words up. Oh, sorry. If you can. Yeah, there we go. And hold your words up nice and high. Can people read that? Okay, and put your words down. What we're going to do, we're going to do it one at a time. And as you hold your words up, the congregation are going to say what it says on the card. Does that make sense? Okay, let's start with number one. Nice and high. Not bad. Should we do it one more time? And hopefully the adults will be a bit quicker. Should we try that? Okay, from number one again. Brilliant. Okay. Now what I'd like you all to see, if you can have a sit down on these rugs and then turn around, because we're going to be looking at what's on the board. We're going to be having a little think about that Bible verse this morning. So, who can tell me what happens on the 25th of December? It's Christmas Day, isn't it? It's only a few days away, 5 days, and it'll be Christmas Day. So I did a little bit of research, and on the News Round children's news programme, and they did a survey to see what were the top three things people were looking forward to at Christmas. And one of them was this. They said, well, I'm really looking forward to spending time with my family and with my friends. That was one of the things they really liked doing at Christmas. And another thing, I guess this is pretty popular, is because school is closed, we really look forward to the holidays. You don't have to go to school. Now, did anyone finish school a day early because of the snow? Quite a few of you. So you've had an extra long Christmas holiday. And this, well, no surprises, this was number one, wasn't it? We all look forward to presents at Christmas, giving them to our friends and family, and also receiving them from other people. They were the three things. And when I did a little bit more research, I found another list of 34 things that people were looking forward to. And the one thing that wasn't mentioned was God or Jesus. So when we think about the 25th of December, when we think about Christmas, well, we could think, well, where is God? Where is God in all this? Is Christmas about God at all? And lots of people say, well, actually, no, Christmas isn't about God. We think that God is nowhere. He's nowhere to be found. Christmas is not about God at all. But our verse, the one that you've all been holding there, tells us, well, that's not right. It tells us, actually, that's very wrong. And we're going to be thinking, why? See, Christmas isn't about presents, most of all. It's not really about even not going to school or spending time with friends and family. Christmas is more about God. And we're going to see why. See, who can remember what the first bit of our verse said? Can anyone remember? Yeah. No one has ever seen God. Absolutely right. Okay, so the Bible tells us when John's writing his gospel, beginning of the New Testament, he says, look, when it comes to seeing God, well, no one has ever seen God. And so we might be thinking, well, it's kind of difficult to get to know people, isn't it? A bit like with our pupils and their headmistress. Until you actually meet that person, well, you don't really know very much about them. So can we know anything about God? If we can't see him, how can we know him? Well, actually, the Bible tells us that we can know God because he speaks to us. We can hear what God has to say. God will often speak to us and we hear about it. And one of the ways we hear about it, we'll be thinking about in just a moment. Do you think God tells us what he thinks by email? Do you think that's right? Yeah? Do you think that's right? He doesn't use email, does he? Do you think God uses the telephone? No, he doesn't use the telephone either. What God uses is one of these. Now, you have to use your imagination, but this is a prophet, okay? And we have lots of those in the Old Testament. Today we're thinking why Jesus is the best prophet ever. But let me tell you what prophets used to do. See, prophets, God would speak to, he'd choose someone, he'd say, you're going to be my prophet, and I'm going to tell you stuff, and then what you're to do, what do you think the prophet then did? Any ideas? Tells other people, absolutely right. And so that's how we would hear about God. And what God tells us is lots of things about him. See, God tells us, look, I was the one who made the whole world and everything and everyone who lives in it. That's one of the things God tells us. Another thing God says is, look, I love everybody because I made them. I'm a God who loves people. But there's a couple of other things as well. God says, look, I also love what is right. Okay, that's really important to me. But actually, I really hate what is wrong. That's what God tells us through his prophets. And he also says, look, because I made you, I know how best for you to live. Any ideas what these might be? Yep. The Ten Commandments, absolutely right. So God gives us the Ten Commandments and says that that's the best way for you to live on this earth that I have made. So we can learn quite a lot of things about God. Even though we hear from him, we haven't yet seen him, we can know quite a lot about him. Now, have any of you received any Christmas cards in the post? Yeah? Do you know where they came from? Did any of them come from a... I might have to go to the adults for this one. Has anyone received a Christmas card by airmail? Hands up if it's outside of Europe. Keep your hand up. Where's the furthest from... Is Australia the furthest away? Has anyone received a Christmas card from Australia? Brilliant. So quite a few people have had Christmas cards from a very, very long way away. Now, my guess is that they don't get to see those people very often. But when they write to them, they hear about them and know a little bit about what they're like. But if we don't see people, then it's difficult to know what they're really, really like. So we can think, well, God, he's such a long way away, I'll never really know what he is like. Which is why our Bible verse says that no one has seen God, but it's not because he's so far away. It's because actually to see God is really, really dangerous. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. Why does the Bible say, look, seeing God is really dangerous? It says, well, it's really dangerous because of what you're like. See, the Bible tells us, look, God, if we look at God's heart, it's really clean. It's pure. It's what the Bible says, calls holy. So the Bible says, look, God's heart is really clean. But the Bible actually says also that our hearts, well, is that one clean? It's not, is it? It's really, really dirty. Actually, there's a little bit of cleanness in there, but really, it's just very, very dirty. And the Bible tells us, well, because God's heart is clean and our heart is dirty, the two just don't go together. Now, lots of things don't go together, do they? Who likes a cheese sandwich? Do you like cheese sandwiches? Yeah. Yeah, a few of you. What's your favourite sandwich? Cheese. Does anyone like anything other than cheese? Cheese is very popular this morning. Okay, what about if I said, well, I really like cheese sandwiches, but I won't put butter on my cheese sandwich. I like to have a little bit of toothpaste. What would you think? That is disgusting, isn't it? Why is it disgusting? Well, it's because the two things just don't go together. Cheese sandwich with toothpaste, well, that just doesn't go together. That would be all wrong. But much more serious than what we have in our sandwiches is that because God's heart is clean and our heart isn't, is that the two just don't go together. And what it means is if we were to see God face to face, well, we could never be friends with him because our heart is dirty, but his is clean. Now, you may be thinking, well, Andy, that's all very well, but I think my heart is really quite clean. I know my older brother or older sister, their heart's probably really dirty, but actually mine is really quite clean. We often look at other people and think, well, aren't they much worse than me? But the Bible tells us that all our hearts are dirty. Who knows what this person here is doing? Any ideas? Yeah. Do you know what they're doing? What are they doing with their fingers? They're crossing them. And why do people do that? Any ideas? Let me tell you why adults do it. Okay, adults do it. They put their fingers behind their back and they say one thing to somebody, but they mean something else. Sometimes they do it when they lie. Okay, and God says, well, if you do that, if you tell lies, well, it's because your heart is dirty. But there's another thing as well. Sometimes we upset people, don't we? And we make them cry. Have you ever upset your brother or sister? Or your mum or dad? Some of us have, haven't we? And sometimes it's by what we do. Sometimes it's by what we say. Or sometimes it's by what we don't do. Or what we don't say. And what the Bible says is, well, if you do these things, well, it's because your heart is dirty. So actually, the Bible's right when it says, look, all our hearts are really, really dirty. Now, What's this got to do with our Bible verse? Well, our Bible verse is going to tell us that God has never been seen by anybody, but it all changes when Jesus was born. That's what we remember, isn't it, at Christmas, that Jesus being born. And we're going to sing a song now, but after that we're going to see how Jesus being born is such a brilliant thing to be celebrating. So I'm going to hand over to Will. Okay, so we were thinking about our Bible verse, aren't we? It says, no one has ever seen God. Now, why is it we couldn't see God? Can you remember what's God's heart like?
Clean.
And what's our hearts like?
Dirty,
that's right. But the next bit of our verse says, look, but Jesus has shown us what God is like. Now we're going to think, well, what exactly does that mean? How can Jesus show us what God is like? Well, maybe we think, ah, well, I know. Jesus can tell us what God is like. Well, he's read lots of books. See, Jesus loved reading and he read lots of books about God, so he can tell us what God is like. Do we think that's right? No, that's not right. Maybe. What about this? Did Jesus watch lots of TV? Do you think that's how he can show us? No? Okay, you're absolutely right. Maybe Jesus was just pretending. Do you ever pretend? See, if I've got a little mask here. Can anyone tell what I am? An owl. And if I flap my arms, and what noise does an owl make? Twit, woo! Does that make me an owl? Doesn't, does it? I'm just pretending, aren't I? Even though I'm... So maybe Jesus was pretending to be God. He said he was God. Maybe he was just pretending. But actually, Jesus wasn't pretending at all. So we think, well, what else could Jesus be saying? Well, maybe Jesus was related to God. So maybe Jesus just looked a bit like God. You know how some people look like their parents or their brothers or sisters? So here's a picture of a baby. Now, who do you think is this baby's dad? Hands up if you think it's Will. Do you think it's Will? No? Who do you think is this baby's dad? Shrek, isn't it? This is baby Shrek. So baby Shrek, when she grows up, for better or worse, she is going to look like her dad. So maybe Jesus just looked a bit like God, and that's how he can show us what God is like. But that's not what our verse means either. See, what our verse means is that Jesus, when he was born, he was going to be able to show us what God was like. Not because he was pretending, not because he read lots of books, but because he is God. That's why Christmas is such an exciting time, because we remember God being born as a baby. So this changes things, doesn't it? It doesn't mean that God is nowhere. What we remember at Christmas is that God is now here, because he's been born as Jesus. That's why Christmas is so exciting. But you may be thinking, well, Andy, that's all very well, but what, there's still a problem, isn't there? What's God's heart like? And what's ours like? Dirty. So even though Jesus is God and we can now see him, well, that doesn't help us be friends with him, because we've still got this problem. So that is a good question, isn't it? The question we need to answer, well, how is Jesus good news? Why do we celebrate Christmas? Well, we celebrate because God is now here on earth. But what about our hearts? Well, the other brilliant thing about Jesus that we remember at Christmas is what he's done. See, Jesus says, look, I know God's heart is clean, but your heart is dirty. And I haven't just been born for fun. I've been born so that I can sort out this problem. And here's what Jesus does. He says, look, I'm going to take your dirty heart and I'm going to replace it with a clean heart. When does that happen? Well, that happens when we say sorry to God for all the things we've done wrong and follow Jesus. That's why Christmas is such good news, because God has now come to earth and we can be friends with him, because Jesus says, well, I will make your dirty heart clean. I'm going to pray about that now as we finish. Dear God, we do thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he was born, and thank you that we can remember that on Christmas Day. Thank you too for Jesus, that he came to sort out the problem of our dirty hearts so that we can be friends with you. Amen.